Our text, verse 8 and the first part of 9 of Psalm 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. Our text, verse 8 and the first part of 9 of Psalm 32, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. Let's first call upon the Lord and ask for his blessing together. Lord, thank you so much that as a new year begins, we may be assured that you have not left us, but that you are the eternal God who goes with us in life's journey till journey's end. You are the God from everlasting to everlasting. You are the God who changes not. And you have given us your word to be our guide and our guard in life's journey. And thank you, Lord, that we could end the year under your gospel word and that we may begin the year with your gospel word. And bless us together, even though we may be rather few in number, yet, Lord, bless us under the ministry of your word and help us to see how precious your word is and make it a lamp to our feet and a light upon our path. Also, as we go into this new year, 2015, we don't know what the year will bring, but we know that if you are with us and if you are our guide and guard, all will go well, whatever may happen. Lord, we pray, bless us this service and bless us this year. Remember each person here in life's journey, in their own circumstances. You know the challenges we have. You know our joys, our struggles, our temptations, our trials. All things are known to you. Lord, lead us by your fatherly hand, step by step, day by day, we pray, each one, younger or older. We pray for those with special blessings, those who are hoping for special blessings. We think too of those in our congregation expecting a child. We pray for Dan and Connie as their baby is due any day now. Lord, bless them in this delicate time and make all things well for them and their family. Be with Benjamin and Rebecca. Lord, bless Rebecca. She's still with her mother in the east. Lord, thank you that her mother is doing somewhat better. And we pray, continue to bless her also. And Rebecca, Lord, as she's expecting as well, and watch over her and the little one. Lord, be with others in our congregation. You know the whole flock, and we bring them all before you. Also those who are older and who ask themselves maybe, will this year be the last in their life? We think of Audrey in her frailty. We think of Alita in her frailty. We think of Jeanette. Lord, remember them in their needs and cares. Help us each to count our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom for the time that you give us in life's journey. Have mercy on our world. Listening to the news, also in our own city, we are reminded that we live in a sinful world where there's so much violence and evil and darkness. Help us, Lord, to be children of the light and to walk in the light and to be lights in this world and to spread the good news while we yet may do so. Lord, keep us from sin and guide us in the way everlasting. Bless us as consistory. We thank you, Lord, when we may work together well and help us to shepherd the flock as you call us to do. And will you prosper us as congregation, not only building us up in the faith, but making us more and more a people who are known as those who love the Lord and who live for the Lord and who long for more to come to know the Lord while it's yet the day of grace. May your kingdom come. Hear us, Lord, as we pray this first day of the new year. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, this year, our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are now given the privilege again to serve the Lord with our offerings, collection for the church and its ministry here. And then after prayer, we will sing together Psalter 31, the first four stanza, Psalter 31. Thank you, Lord, for this special day and this feast day, and also that we may acknowledge you in the way of giving of our offerings. Lord, you give us so much every day, every year, and how good it is that we may give of our first fruits for the furtherance of your church and kingdom. Lord, receive also this gift in the name of the Savior and multiply it for good. Lord, we ask this not because we deserve it, but in love to you and for the furtherance of your church and kingdom, in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Sermon, our song selection is Psalter 236, and I'm thinking, why don't we sing all the stanzas of 236 when we sing it? Well, Happy New Year again to each of you as we begin 2015. With today being the first day of 2015, there is a reason why our text is from Psalm 32. It's partly connected to the message that we had last evening, which was about God's pardoning mercy and amazing grace. Well, David here in Psalm 32, he acknowledges his personal experience of God's forgiveness of his sins. And this psalm was written by him after his sin with Bathsheba and against Uriah, all of which was grievous sin against God himself. And in Psalm 32, David so rejoices in the full and free forgiveness of sins which was given to him and of which he was assured by God's grace through the prophet Nathan and his ministry. And in that light then, David in this psalm, he speaks of his God not only being the one who's so gracious and forgiving, but as the one who promises to guide us in life's journey and to guard us in his ways. God will shepherd his own in the green pastures of his word and lead us in the way everlasting. He will lead his people every year again for as long as we live. He will lead us in the way of grace and godliness and bearing fruit to his praise and for our neighbor's good. How wonderful this is to know for this new year now too. When you are a Christian, you don't enter the new year on your own. But God promises to be with us, you and me, and to guide us every step of the way, whatever may happen, also in this new year. Looking closer now at this, what David says in Psalm 32, let's focus on what he says in verses 8 and 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you, he says, with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. We will especially focus on the phrase, I will guide you with mine eye. Our theme is most loving counsel from God with another new year. And we have 3 points this morning. We will look at first the warm-hearted promise here, the warm-hearted promise. Secondly, the insightful, important warning, And last, the noteworthy encouragement here. I will guide you with mine eye. This is what God says through David. This is the witness of King David, filled with the Holy Spirit, to the covenant people of God, to those who know and glory in the Lord as the God who forgives their sins. Look who God is for his people. Not only in forgiving us our sins, but coming alongside of us to guide us and to guard us in his ways. I will guide you with mine eye. That's a warm-hearted promise here from God. I will instruct you. I will teach you. I will direct you, not in wrong ways, but in good ways. In the way that you should go, in the way of grace and truth. In the way of godliness and goodness. My instruction won't be abstract either, says the Lord. It won't be as one who's removed from you, but as one personally involved in you and with you. Yes, I will guide you with mine eye. What does that mean, with mine eye? Well, in brief, it means with all his care and all his love. God is saying here to his people, I will guide you most tenderly and wisely and steadfastly so. Think here of a mom or a dad instructing a babysitter, watching over the young children, and maybe when going to a park or to the mall. A mom or dad will instruct the babysitter, if you go to the park or if you go to the mall, just don't take your eyes off the little ones. In other words, be watching over them, those children, for their protection and good every minute. We sometimes talk too, don't we, of a young man liking a girl, and we say then, he's got his eye on her. You can tell. Or the other way around, she's got her eye on him. You can't help but notice it. Sometimes others can see it, actually, even before the person herself or himself realizes it. Let me give you here some other references that prove when God guides us by his eye, that means with his special care, with his special love, leading us in the way we should go. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 12, for instance, God is speaking of the promised land of Canaan for his people. And we read there, God saying, it's a land, the land of Canaan, which the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it. From the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. You read that in Deuteronomy 11 and 12. And you see, that means his eyes on the land tell us of his special care for the land. And then turning to 1 Kings 8, verse 29, we read there when King Solomon is dedicating the new temple, just built, he asks in verse 29, O Lord, that your eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward this place which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant shall make toward this place. Again, you see, God asking for God's eyes to be open towards the temple and where his name is asking for God's special care and ministry there. Let me give you two more cross references. Just listen to what God says in Jeremiah 24, verse 6 and 7. There God is speaking through Jeremiah, giving this promise to those who would be sent to Babylon in the captivity. God will give them encouragement, and he says to them, therefore I will set mine eyes upon you for good, and I will bring them again into this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. You see, and hear how much God promises with guiding his people, with his eye, with his all-seeing, all-caring eye. Now consider yet Psalm 33, verse 18 to 20. There we read, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord, for he is our help and shield. Clearly, these verses again bring out how good and how special when God will guide us with his eye. What a promise for good. When God will guide us with his eye, us and our children, in this new year. I will guide you with mine eye. This is the Lord's promise of his most loving counsel and care for us as we enter 2015. He will guide through dangers all. He will not suffer you to fall. He who saves his people keeps, slumbers not, and never sleeps. When you consider, too, how God's guidance is in regards to the whole of life and in regards to the greatest of our needs and our every single need, how comforting this is, isn't it? God triune promises, again, in this new year, deliverance from our chief enemies, sin, Satan, death, and hell. And instead, he promises to give us forgiveness and comfort and salvation, rich and free, and in the end, an eternal home with him. Indeed, the triune God promises complete salvation for body and soul, for this life and forevermore, under his eye and keeping. Maybe someone of you look up against this new year for whatever reason, seeing all kinds of challenges and dangers and threats from within you or around you in your concern. Maybe you see the year ahead perhaps as a mountain or let's say as a staircase in a house even that you wonder how you ever will get up it. You wonder how you ever will make it through and up to the top. The year is before you like a mountain impossible for you to climb perhaps is what you're thinking. But that reminds me of a story of a Christian dad who organized a loving game with his kids. He said to his children one night, I'm going to stand on the top of the stairs, the very top, and you stay on the bottom. And now when I'm at the top, you all have to find a way to get up to the top of the stairs, but without touching a single step and without touching the railing. At first, the children said to one another and to their dad, that's impossible, Dad. How can we get there to the top where you are without touching the stairs or the railing? It just can't be done. But then all of a sudden, one of the children had an idea. I know, Dad. She said, you come down. And so the dad came down. And Dad, bend over while I get on your back. Okay, now, Dad, you climb the stairs. She got it, you see. The child understood the way to make it to the top of the stairs without touching the steps or the railing was to rest on her dad and to let him carry her to the very top. And you see, that's what the Lord promises to do for us with the mountains we face, with the challenges we meet with in this life. The dad explained this further to the children, how it's impossible for us to get right with God on our own and to live rightly and victoriously to God's praise on our own. It just can't be done by us. We're sinners by nature. Even filled with the Spirit, we're still sinful. But when we trust Christ and follow His lead and let ourselves be guided by His eye and by His loving counsel through His Word and Spirit, step by step, day by day, oh, then we will be blessed and be a blessing, and we know we will make it up to heaven. That's the good news of the gospel, isn't it? Yes, that's God's warm-hearted promise now also to us. Not only does the Lord forgive us our sins and sinfulness when we fail, but He promises to guide us and to lead us with His eye all through life's brief journey to our eternal home. David speaks to the covenant community of his day, so full of overflowing gratitude and praise to God for the Lord's forgiving love and His ongoing care. And David, God through David, will make known what a gracious, glorious, caring God, faithful Savior God, and covenant-keeping God the Lord is. I will guide you with my eye, the Lord says to believers and their seed, and it's a promise rich beyond measure. We should think here, too, of the cost of this promise, what it involved from God's side. Do you know what it involved? It involved God indeed sending His Son from heaven to come down into this world to be the Savior of sinners. The Father's loving eye was removed from His own dear Son when here on earth, especially when hanging on the cross as sin-bearer, that now and forevermore His loving eye might be upon His people, as many as repent of sin and trust in Him. Jesus, by His salvation work, was sent by the Father and anointed by the Holy Spirit, and He did what was impossible with ourselves. He, as Savior of sinners, made a way. He made a way for us to be reconciled to God. You could say Jesus made a ladder, a highway, as it were, a staircase, if you will, that leads right into heaven now. It couldn't be built and opened without Jesus shedding His own blood and giving His life as that once-for-all perfect sacrifice for sin before God. But Jesus accomplished that all. When God says in our text, I will guide you with my eye, that is something so undeserved by us. And David realized something of that, as reflected in this psalm. But it's something now freely granted to us in and through Christ, the Savior of sinners. And of course, this is the heart of the gospel, isn't it? Which rings true in the new year still too. I said to my family this morning, imagine if God said, I was there for you up to the end of 2014, but no more. God didn't say that. God doesn't say that. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I graciously will teach you the way that you shall go, and with my eye upon you, my counsel make you know. Do you see with me what a warm-hearted promise this is? Will you latch onto it as we go into a new year? What a way to move forward, knowing God is watching over us, guiding us and leading us, guarding us by His fatherly hand and under His gracious eye in all our ways and needs and cares and challenges, come what may. Can't we say a very happy new year to you all when trusting this word of God to His people? Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go. I will guide you with mine eye. Are we not all called here to look to the Lord and to follow His guidance and His leading as given to us in His word, and also through this new year to look to Him? You know, you can't see God guiding you by His eye if you have your back turned on Him. To be guided by His eyes, you and I need to be looking to the Lord. Isn't that true? If you turn your back on Him, you won't be guided by God's eye, will you? Are you looking to the Lord? Is this what you want to and hope to do every day, 2015? God helping you again and again. What a blessing when that is so, from our youngest days till our oldest days. But could it be that there's someone here or more who's not that intent on looking to the Lord as we start a new year? You're not really thinking about serving the Lord, maybe. Maybe even as a Christian. Can be. You think and persuade yourself too often still, I don't need to follow the Lord and His Word so closely all the time. I can actually do quite well from time to time on my own. I can manage all right. I don't have to read God's Word every day, and I don't have to worship regularly to be seeing God's guiding eye. I manage on my own. Sometimes even Christians can fall into this and be so foolish. David was. Going our own sinful ways rather than only always God's ways. And that brings me, you see, to our second point in connection with our text. For with the warm-hearted promise, I will guide you with mine eye, there comes also this insightful, important warning. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, David says. And here the psalmist is describing people who are living lives in stubborn resistance and ongoing question and rebellion against the Lord and His word and will. You know God's way, but you won't go that way. David is describing those who rather live in sin than wholly follow after God. Those who continue unrepentant, unbelieving, uncommitted, half-hearted, you might say, in God's ways, rather than wholehearted and seeking Him, serving Him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Oh, David, he knew from painful experience, didn't he, how we can be so foolish and sinful sometimes, giving into temptation and wrongdoing and following the world's ways rather than God's will and word in our lives. We can be so stubborn as a mule when we have some wrong idea in us and we are into something that we know is not right and we don't want to give it up. It's an insightful, important warning here then, isn't it? Because when truly saved, still always in this life, our sinful flesh and evil Satan and this ungodly, pleasure-seeking world is always there to entice us and to blind us and to ensnare us and to overtake us in one sin or another. But you see now, the Lord lovingly warns us here. Don't be like the horse or mule. Without understanding, so slow to learn. God will teach us and lead us in the way we should go, and let us not so live that He has to deal firmly and painfully with us and bring us to our senses in a shocking way to keep from sin. Let us not be like that. Think here of God saying, I will guide you with mine eye. When we are disobedient, we don't like the thought of God's eye upon us, do we? We refuse to look into the eyes of the Lord if we're in the pathway of sin. You all know what I'm talking about, I'm sure. Think of children here with their parents. You know how when a young boy or a young girl is not behaving at home with their parents, with their mom and dad, then mom and dad might say, look at me. Look right at mommy's eyes or into daddy's eyes. When you're bad, you don't want to do that. And you try everything not to do it either. Yet your parents insist, look into my eyes. And your parents insist that because they know what is best for you and they love you most and they want to guide you in a godly and good way and they really mean what they say. But you are resistant to go their way. Maybe you lied. Maybe you were mean to your sister. Maybe you didn't clean up the toys and you're not listening. And they say, look into my eyes. But you don't. Is that what anyone's doing here among us now? Not just with your parents, but before God especially? You refuse to be guided with God's eye upon you? You won't look into His eyes and be led by Him and His word? Could it be? Isn't that living in sin and defiance and disobedience before the Lord? It is. God graciously urges now, though, all of us at the beginning of this year not to do that, not so to live in this new year. No, don't be a stubborn mule or donkey or horse before the Lord. He's out to teach us in good ways, in loving ways, in right ways. Don't be stubborn in the way of sin. Listen here to what God says about Israel and their covenant history in Psalm 78. God says about the people, both as parents and children, All too often that they were as a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You won't be like that, will you, in this new year? God forbid. To drive home how foolish and wrong to be as the horse and mule without understanding, especially before God, let me tell you this story of a farmer who lent his donkey to a neighbor. The neighbor had asked the farmer if he might borrow the donkey to tow a wagon into town. And the farmer brought the donkey, and he said to this neighbor, "All you have to do is speak gently to the donkey and tell him he'll get some hay when he brings you safely back home." The farmer left, and shortly after, the neighbor went to go to town and with his wagon behind the donkey and all hooked up and ready to go. The neighbor then tried to carry out the instructions of the farmer, but no matter what he said and how gently he spoke and the hay he promised, yet the donkey refused to budge. Stubborn donkey. Finally, the neighbor went back to the farmer, so frustrated, and he said, "It's not working as you said." The farmer then returned with the neighbor, taking with him a huge stick. And he promptly hit the donkey hard on the head with the stick. After that, the donkey listened to the gentle comment about the hay. "Sorry," the farmer said to the neighbor, "I forgot to tell you that you first have to get the donkey's attention." You get the point. From God's word now, let us hear the Lord's insightful, urgent warning not to be slow to listen and to have to be beaten or to be made to suffer before we pay attention. Don't let 2015 be a year where you listen only a little or only sometimes or only half-heartedly to God's word, but truly listen and listen more and more. How sad, how wrong if we won't listen. And if you and I need God to give us hard knocks and beatings before we pay attention to him and his word, before we come to our senses in living for God and for good. And let no one of us just presume, "Oh, if I don't listen, God will take care to lead me eventually." God may just as well leave us to our foolish and stubbornly sinful ways and give us over to ourselves. We don't deserve that he should minister to us. If you and I will not hear his voice today, we are being foolish without understanding. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts through the deceitfulness of sin, the Bible says. Will you keep this in heart and mind also through this new year, 2015? Each day, wherever you go, whatever you do, whoever you're with, "I will guide you with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule without understanding." Do you hear with me how God means so much good for us now with this word, this first day of the new year? This most loving counsel from God for 2015, you will hear it and follow it, won't you? By God's grace. Considering also our third main point based on the text, God's noteworthy encouragement. His noteworthy encouragement. His noteworthy encouragement in his ways is in the last two verses of the psalm. The encouragement is given both negatively and positively. Again, notice in verse 10, the Lord says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked," those who go on without understanding. "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked." Oh, wouldn't David have said this with real passion as he himself went through such deep and dark ways on account of his sin and his rebellion against the Lord when he for 10 months acted like a mule before God? The way of sin is the way, and the way of unbelief is the pathway of grief and shame and trouble and hurt and so much wrong before God and others. We read in Proverbs 13:15, good understanding gives favor, gives blessing, but the way of transgressors is hard. The way of sin and unbelief, the way of this world may look so attractive, but behind the scenes, underneath the initial fleeting glamour, you will find so much that speaks of sorrow and pain and misery. Just think of all the evils, even in our own city and in our own province. Maybe there were those, and I'm sure there were also in this city last night, who had drunken New Year's Eve parties. And think of them this morning. Miserable. Miserable. And who knows, suffering consequences of foolish, wrong actions last night, whether in the way of violence or abuse or whatever. The wages of sin is death, not life. The path of unbelief leads to despair, not delight. The ungodly way of the world brings hurt, not help. It brings failure and friction, not fruitfulness and faithfulness. Think of what terrible evils David became capable of and guilty of when refusing stubbornly to walk in God's ways for those 10 months when he went his own way. How many sorrows came upon David, too, for his foolish and sinful ways. How much hurt he brought, not just to himself, but to many of his own loved ones through his wrongdoings. Oh, God remembered mercy when David was led by the Lord to repent for his sins, but sad consequences of his sins always remained with him and his loved ones for the rest of his lifetime. Sin never pays. It always dismays, miserably so even. So the Lord, in no worthy encouragement in his ways, under his holy, loving guidance in all our ways, states not only negatively, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but then he adds positively in verse 10b, he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass, that means shall surround him about. The word mercy there in the Hebrew is the word chesed, which means God's all-around amazing, blessed, loving kindness and tender covenant care in all our ways and in all our needs. His mercy and his loving care and keeping will surround you and uphold you and me in all our ways, even as you and I, day by day, by his grace and spirit, seek and serve the Lord in spirit and truth, staying close to him and ever following his word, as it were, not able to drink it in enough, to be guided by him always. You see, in God's way is, there's fullness of life here and now, and eternal life to come, in endless glory, in the new heavens and the new earth. The psalm ends then with this positive note, be glad in the Lord, ye righteous, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Do you see and hear with me how this is saying, really, God's ways are truly happy, blessed ways. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. We read the same, didn't we, in Psalm 1? And you find it throughout the Bible. Think, too, of the last verses of Psalm 84. There we read, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. As the Elder Fraser read yesterday, last night, happy is that people, Psalm 144. That is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. What noteworthy encouragement then God gives us to seek and serve him in all our ways. I will guide you with my eye. This the triune God says to us and our children. What the whole psalm makes so clear is that to live apart from God is death. But 'tis good to seek his face. It's like the quote I have in the bulletin. I read on Facebook from someone, quote, life without God is like an unsharpened pencil without point. As confessing Christians, we know and testify that that is true. And the call of this first sermon of the year is to let us show this in all our life, also this new year through. by God's grace and Spirit through His Word as our guide. The three main points of this sermon, I don't know if you noticed it, really are, let me give them again, the warm-hearted promise, the insightful warning, and the noteworthy encouragement. Using the first letters of those points, the word is win, win. If you and I will be winners and win in this new year, you and I need to hear and live by and out of God's most loving counsel for another year, and indeed for as long as we live. Will you and I do so? Will you do so? Each and each one here. And will we encourage each other in this good way? What about it, children and youth and older ones and everyone here this morning? In our home, we have a picture of the broad and the narrow way. Maybe you've seen that picture before. Jesus tells us the broad and narrow way in Matthew 7. And on the top of that picture, and I took it with me, it's in the back, you can look at it after, there's a picture of an eye at the very top of the two ways. And then the text, 1 Peter 3, verse 12. The eye in that picture is meant to depict God's eye over us in our lives. And what does 1 Peter 3, verse 12 say? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. This is not just a saying, but it is the certain and clear truth of God's word. And Peter is actually quoting from one of the Psalms. And what David, now inspired by the Holy Spirit, as a forgiven sinner, tells us in Psalm 32 is this: absolutely nothing can compare to being led and guided by God triune as revealed in Jesus Christ and His word, and living under His eye in all our ways from our earliest days till journey's end. May this word then serve as a lamp to our feet and a light upon our path. And thank you, Lord, for your most loving counsel with another year. I will guide you with mine eye. Amen. Psalter 236. Let's sing all the stanza.
Thank you.
give thanks. Lord, thank you for your most loving counsel as we begin a new year. We pray that you will prosper this word in our minds and hearts, that it go with us throughout the year, and that we be not as the mule or as the horse, but that we love your word and live to your praise. And Lord, bless us so and make us a blessing. Thank you for your loving kindness to us. We acknowledge your goodness and your undeserved mercies in this way. Bless us now further this day and watch over each one in their special needs, whatever they be. Remember us as a congregation, as a city and nation, and Lord, have mercy on this whole world. And as we prayed already, may your kingdom come, yes, in us and through us, to the ends of the earth, while it's yet the day of grace. Lord, hear us so, we pray, and we ask it all in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Psalter 308, let's sing together, and then after the benediction, Psalter 425, 5 and 6. See the Lord's parting blessing and the blessing for the new year. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his favor upon you, and give you his peace. Amen.